This next piece comes from our weekend show Sound Effect, where we tell stories from around the Northwest.
Thanks for joining us. You're tuned to Sound Effect on KNKX 88.5 FM. I'm Jennifer Wing, and today's show is all about the things that keep us up at night. Let's talk about food for a second. The clams in your linguine, the oyster shooters that go so well with a pint of Pilsner, the local shellfish you eat in the winter here in the Northwest. It's all harvested in the middle of the night. Almost every night in the winter, there are hundreds of farmers at work along the Washington coast. From the shoreline, the lights of the farmers' headlamps look like fireflies bobbing on the water. The reason they're working such late hours is because of the moon. In the winter months, the tide is lowest in the middle of the night. Sound Effect producer Allie Ferguson went out on one particularly snowy evening to Totten Inlet near Olympia to see what it takes to survive these late-night harvests.
There are three things you need to go shellfish farming in the winter: a headlamp, rubber boots, and lots of warm layers. I'm good on two of those, but Jason, he brings the boots.
Hopefully they fit okay. I didn't even think about it until after I got the boots, but there's not really like men's and women's boot sizes. They're just boots.
That's Jason Reagan,
director of clam and oyster farming with Taylor Shellfish,
and my guide to bivalves for the next few hours. We meet at a gas station at about 10 p.m., only 2 hours before the night's low tide, and then drive through the forest to Oyster Bay. Dark trees leap out through the truck's headlights, snowflakes quietly fall on the leaves, and then the shore appears underneath the black sky. Three crewmen already heading out to harvest.
We can't see much right now. It's snowing and tides are starting to go out. Are they already all the way out?
Nope, it's just getting, I think low tide is just a few minutes after midnight. You can see the bed out there. You can barely see it through the snow, but if we look again in a few minutes, you'll see quite a bit more ground because it's pretty flat, and tonight is one of the biggest low tides of the winter, and so the water, it goes away really fast, and then it'll come back really fast.
How far does it go out?
At least 600 feet from here to where it's, you know, when the water stops going down.
Walking around a shellfish farm at night during low tide has its rules. There's the obvious.
Is don't step on the oysters.
Okay.
And the lesser known strategy for fording small creeks.
Put your heel kind of in the ground.
Okay.
And then you won't slip. And then over here, when you're going uphill, walk kind of on your tippy toes.
Okay.
Without slipping. And then your boot doesn't get stuck in the mud.
As we walk over to meet the crew, Jason says the only way to tell if somebody is going to like this kind of work is if they try it.
There's people that think they're macho and badass and they want to get in shape, and they come out and do this and they quit after one day. And then there's other people that are kind of small and not as physically fit, but they love this kind of work.
What do you like about it?
It doesn't get boring, and that satisfaction of that you did something, that you grew some animals, you kept them alive, and you don't have to feed them or anything. You just have to protect them from predators.
He means predators like crab, otters, fish, and birds.
How long have you been doing this type of work?
23 years. First thing I ever did was dig a clam.
And that was in the summer?
It was.
So what was your first winter like?
Cold. Yeah. Yep. You learn a lot about how to dress in layers. I thought that I needed more socks, but what I was doing was stuffing too many socks in my boot and cutting off circulation to my feet. And it took me about into my second winter to learn that. Making it through winter is probably kind of a badge of honor, I think. If you don't like it, you stay in bed. How's it going, guys?
At the shoreline, three young guys stand waiting for the tide to go out. They're bundled up and wearing boots past their knees.
Well, it's up to you guys. Don't let us hold you up if you
if you got
something that you can get going on.
All right. It's time to go have some fun.
Good luck, guys.
Oh, thank you.
But oysters aren't the only thing Jason oversees. There's the clams, too. So we head over to Little Skookum Inlet, a narrow piece of land with houses looking down from the small cliffs.
This is a clam farm here.
There's too much current that flows back and forth to grow oysters, but it's great for clams. Mm. And so the crews use a 5-gallon bucket, and they get down on their knees and use one of these rakes and claw through the ground and pick clams. Hey, Derek.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
So Derek is our newest farm manager.
And what's it like working at night for you?
Oh, man, I love it. I've always been a night person. You know, we get this to ourselves rather than the daytime. You might get, you know, you'll at least hear other people and boats and fishermen. But at night, it's just, it just always seems a little bit more special.
Did you see the meteor shower last night?
Yeah, I was wondering. I saw it was a shooting star, but yeah. it was huge.
Right? It has 3 times as many meteors per hour as the Perseids meteor shower.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But nobody ever sees it because it happens in December.
Yeah. People are hunkered down.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was pretty tremendous last night.
Almost didn't need a headlamp. You could just...
Yeah. Oyster guys do that sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Bright moon like that. Just turn your light off.
Just use your night vision work. And yeah. You can see, you actually see better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Instead of kind of having this light that just kind of narrows your vision.
How many people do you think are out right now in the Puget Sound harvesting clams or oysters?
Right now, over 1,000.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a heck of a question. Could be 2,000. It kind of ruins that feeling of solitude if you start thinking about it too much.
I guess. Yeah, it's funny when we're working lower, you know, you're looking across the channel, you look up and sometimes you'll see like 8, 10, you know, little beady eyes, all the raccoons or possum or something staring at you.
Right, yeah.
Something came down at the head of Skookum. We were trying to figure it out if it was a coyote or a fox or a bobcat or something. It was just kind of watching us for like the whole time we were netting. It was just...
It was fox.
It was kind of pacing back and forth.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee it was a fox.
Yeah.
I was telling her how they actually like to watch sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, no, sometimes you'll be working along and you look up and there'll just be one sitting there watching you.
It's about 1 a.m. when Jason drives me back to my car. I ask him what it's like to have a life run by the tides.
I don't know. My whole adult life, that's what I've done. So I don't know, I guess, really what it's like to not.
Was there ever a time where you thought you would quit?
Every winter. Yep. When I was younger and, you know, doing the physical labor, it's hard on your body. So... Sometimes you go out and you do that, wear your body out, you go home and you sleep, and you wake up and you look at the wadans and see what else there is to do for a living.
Jason says Taylor Shellfish expects to harvest 23,000 pounds of clams that night and at least 36,000 oysters. For every crew member, wading through the dark waters or digging into the dirt, snow falling quietly on their backs, it's a race against time. In a few hours, they'll be in bed, maybe thinking about a new job. But right now, in the dark of night, it's harvest time. And as they say, the tide waits for no one.
That story from sound effect producer Allie Ferguson.